This program on KSJE is supported by San Juan Health Partners General Surgery, a division of San Juan Regional Medical Center, where our experienced and compassionate surgeons work closely with you and your physician to meet your individual needs. San Juan Health Partners General Surgery offers a full range of services, including minimally invasive procedures for quicker recovery and supportive follow-up care. San Juan Health Partners General Surgery is located at 630 West Maple Street in Farmington. Find out more at 505-609-6300. Wednesday morning on KSJE 90.9 FM and 90.9 HD. Public radio for the Four Corners, a service of San Juan College. Good morning, everybody. I'm Scott Micklin, and thank you for joining me this morning. My guest this morning on the Scott Micklin Morning Program from San Juan Regional Medical Center, Crystal Doerr is here. She is the pediatric coordinator and the speech-language pathologist at the hospital. Good morning. Thanks for coming in. It's good to have you back.
Thank you.
It's been a while, but you're back, so great to have you here. Also joining us this morning is Rachel Slade. She is a physical therapist at the hospital. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thank you both for coming in to talk about the work that you do. And one of the things we want to make sure we mention is this new pediatric rehabilitation facility that's been open now for about 10 months, I'd say, right?
That's right. In February, we opened up our new facility.
Congratulations. And that is specifically geared to help pediatrics. So this is children between the ages of what and what?
Actually, birth to teen. We'll just leave it at that. We see them all the way through their childhood.
And for those patients, they have specific needs that probably are maybe a little bit different than older children and adults, right?
Absolutely.
Tell me a little bit about that. What makes it so specialized?
Children who have developmental delays or disabilities, they are a little bit different than, say, an adult who's had a stroke or an injury. We also have the children who also have had trauma to their lives and need that rehabilitation as well. So we see both types of populations.
I see. And Rachel Slade, when you're dealing with these types of patients, is there certain things that maybe they can do differently than older patients, or is their attention spans a little bit different? So you've got to be a little more creative in how you deal with these patients and help these patients?
Yes, creativity plays a huge role into our positions. We have to highly motivate the children, definitely keep up their attention span. And with the pediatric patients, we're working more towards things such as, for myself as a physical therapist, getting them to crawl and walk and run and jump, which can be different than an adult patient.
Right. But for all patients, though, for whatever reason, they have either lost the ability to do those things and need to relearn those things. And for some older patients or younger patients, it's really going from step one in many cases, right?
Yes.
Of what they're learning to do again.
Yes, very much so.
Sometimes. And Crystal, talk to me a little bit more about the work that you do with these younger patients, because I imagine there are certain data that shows kind of where developmentally these children should be by a certain age. But of course, all children develop at somewhat different times, right? So it's hard, I guess, to generalize everything, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. We do have guidelines, though. Children do develop differently, but we do have these guidelines to go by. And as a speech-language pathologist, I'm focused more on the speech and language and communication aspect of development. And we do also treat kiddos who have problems with feeding and swallowing issues as well. So we do have those general guidelines to go by and use to be able to serve as markers as where we need to be with these kids.
Right. And so for some of them, if they're having trouble speaking and doing some of those things where maybe the data shows that they should be doing these things by the time that they're whatever age that they are, so there are certain things that you can do to help them get those skills and improve on those skills then, right?
Yes, absolutely. And our program focuses very much on parent education and enabling the parents to be able to go home and practice these skills and in their home environment and be able to continue that progress after we've completed therapy. So we do really focus on parent education.
And I guess that brings up another point about parental involvement. And, you know, obviously for some of your patients, obviously there's been a trauma. It's pretty obvious that they are in need of your services. But if it's just a newborn baby and parents think that everything's going along okay, are there any warning signs that might tell a parent that maybe they do need some extra help, these children?
Absolutely. Checking in with your pediatrician is key. And so they do keep you on track of the developmental milestones for all developmental issues, gross motor, fine motor, communication. And so checking in with your pediatrician is always good based on what age they are. You know, but for a one-year-old, if you look at a one-year-old, they should be, you know, talking, babbling, really trying to communicate. They should be nearing the walking phase, being able to eat more solid foods and being able to pinch them with their fingers and play with toys and manipulate them a little bit more easily. So those are some key things around a year that they should be doing.
Right. And if they're not doing those things, I guess that means, I guess, any number of things, right?
Absolutely. Rachel, would you like to talk about a little bit?
Sure.
Sure. It can be a wide variety of reasonings why children aren't doing the specific steps that we look for around their age. Like you mentioned earlier, children do vary widely in development, so they may just be lacking in a certain area, such as physical therapy, or in an area that Crystal deals with, such as speech. So we tend to look at the different areas that they need to have. If parents are having concerns, we also do screening clinics that allow for us to have a short period with the child and with the family to discuss what typical development is, what they should be doing, and if we need to see them for further treatment.
I see. And so with those screening clinics, would that be referred to then by a pediatrician?
It can be. You can also refer as a parent to our facility. You just have to call our phone number and request a free developmental screening, and we can get you on our schedule for that.
And that's a free screening then?
It is, absolutely.
And then this sounds like a good time to give a phone number then, so
yes,
folks can do that.
Absolutely. It's 505-609-6013.
Okay.
And if you want a full referral for your child, for a full evaluation for either physical therapy, occupational therapy, or speech therapy, you do have to visit your physician for a prescription, and that physician will then send that prescription to us to be able to address for an evaluation.
Okay. And again, we'll repeat that phone number again a few times before the program is over, so appreciate you sharing that, and we'll repeat that again here as we move forward. In talking about the work that you both do, again, I know parents can get very worried about their children if they feel that they're not at the level that maybe they should be. Do you have to spend some time maybe counseling the parents a little bit on everything's okay, or this is normal, or these things take time type of advice?
We do. We do get a lot of concerns. Every parent wants their child to excel. And so we do have to spend a lot of time counseling and letting them know that there is some room for variation between the developmental skills, but it is very important to be involved in your child's life and really get down on the floor and play with them and teach them these skills that they need. And that is the best thing that you can do for your child.
Right. And when we talk about language and developing those types of skills, I imagine that sometimes maybe kids are just a little bit shy and they don't have anything they want to say at the moment, right? Is that something that you might find too?
Oh, yes. It takes a lot of tricks to get some of these kids to talk and communicate. But at our facility, we do have a wide variety of toys and activities and specialized equipment that really can motivate the child. We have a specialized loft with a climbing wall and a slide, and we have specialized swings and balance beams and balls and bubbles and lots of fun toys that the kids can be really motivated by and get very excited to come to therapy.
And those things are important. And I guess, too, for you, Rachel, they are important, too, with the physical activities that they entice the children to do, right?
They are. With the physical therapy aspect of it, usually we're using bigger equipment than some of the other specialties use. So sometimes we need to use walkers and stairs and, like Crystal mentioned, the balance beams. Not always can we just sit down at a table and utilize those kind of things. But for parents and their development, the best thing for them to do is just to let their children play. Take them to the playground, roll around with them on the floor, And most kids are going to want to progress to the next step. Sometimes they need a little bit of help with it, and that's where we come in. But creativity and having lots of equipment can definitely come into it for our field.
And if the child's at the playground and maybe they're not going to that next step, would that be a sign then to mom and dad that maybe there's something that is not quite developing properly? I know it's hard to really make that generalization, isn't it?
There can be lots and lots of things that are maybe going on. Sometimes the kiddos are afraid of the swing and there's something going on there, or they don't like being off the ground, so they avoid the slide. Or maybe they don't have the strength to do the monkey bars. And so there can be a lot of different things that are going on. But if a parent does have a concern, that's where our screening clinic comes into play widely. But if a child seems to be avoiding the playground completely or not wanting to do a certain thing, it would be a good question to ask either the pediatrician or to contact our facility.
Right. And I guess it goes back to a discussion about just how important play is for children, because it really tells us a lot about a lot of these developmental areas, does it not?
Absolutely. Play is how kids learn. They really do learn best through play. So judging how their play looks is really going to give you a good indicator of their developmental skills.
And how should it look then, as Rachel was saying, those types of things, trying to go to the next level, I suppose, right?
Absolutely. So, for instance, for communication and for speech and language, if your child by the age of 3 or 4 is not using those pretend play skills and showing their imagination and really acting out things with their toys, pretending to feed a baby and burp a baby and put a baby to sleep, those types of skills for communication are a little bit of an indicator that maybe they're not quite on the right track with their play skills.
I see. And again, go ahead, Rachel.
And in regards to the bigger motor movements that I do, I think it's important for parents to remember that kids are growing and they always hit this stage of clumsiness. And sometimes parents get really concerned, but mostly it's due to their growing. They're trying to catch up with their bodies. But if parents notice that their kid is always falling down and has bumps and bruises all over their head and knees, that's a time that they can definitely give us a call or talk to their pediatrician.
And again, I imagine it's fairly easy to kind of generalize and to say, well, my child's not all that clumsy or what have you, but again, if recurring and causes some other more serious problems, I guess that is a warning sign, perhaps.
If it's occurring for months and months and over, and they're not just in this growing phase and the parents are really having concerns with it, it is a time to call. But all kids do go through that clumsy phase several times within their life.
Right. Teenagers come to mind, I suppose,
yes,
right?
Yes,
as another
so,
phase,
teenage
right?
Teenage boys grow very quickly, and they get that nice clumsiness that's associated with it.
Right. A little bit harder to control some of those longer limbs as they're going through those growing stages, right?
Yes.
Very good. My guest this morning from San Juan Regional Medical Center, Crystal Doerr, is here. She is the pediatric coordinator and the speech-language pathologist. Rachel Slade is here, too. She is one of the physical therapists at the pediatric rehabilitation facility at the hospital, which has been open now since about February. And it's located on the campus there?
Yes, on the hospital campus, 810 West Maple, right across the street from the emergency room.
Okay, so it's right there. And again, you offer free screenings. If parents do have a question or a concern maybe about the development of their children, they can contact you and get one of these screenings?
Absolutely. They just need to call 505-609-6013 to access this free screening. Also, you could visit your physician for a prescription for a full evaluation referral.
Okay, very good. Let's take a short break. We come back more with my guests in just a moment here on KSJE. This program on KSJE is supported by Citizens Trust and Investment Corporation, providing a competent, innovative, and caring team of professionals to serve wealth management, trust administration, employee benefit plans, retirement planning, and estate settlement needs. Find out more about Citizens Trust and Investment Corporation at 505-599-0181. This program on KSJE is supported by San Juan Health Partners General Surgery, a division of San Juan Regional Medical Center, where our experienced and compassionate surgeons work closely with you and your physician to meet your individual needs. San Juan Health Partners General Surgery offers a full range of services, including minimally invasive procedures for quicker recovery and supportive follow-up care. San Juan Health Partners General Surgery is located at 630 West Maple Street in Farmington, Find out more at 505-609-6300. Wednesday morning on KSJE, and you're listening to the Scott Micklin Morning Program. My guest this morning from San Juan Regional Medical Center, Rachel Slade is here. She's a physical therapist at the hospital. Again, thanks for coming in. Good morning.
Yes, thank you. Good morning.
Crystal Doerr is here as well. She is the pediatric coordinator and a speech-language pathologist. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And we're talking about the work that you both do with children from pretty much birth to teen, right?
Absolutely.
The new pediatric rehabilitation facility. And one of the things we're talking about in the first segment this morning was kind of children and their play behavior and maybe how some of that might send a signal to parents that something's maybe just not quite right. The kids aren't comfortable maybe on a slide or a swing set or whatever, right?
Yes, yes. So we were talking about how that can mean a variety of different things, but sometimes it can mean that children are having trouble with their sensory systems. For example, they don't like the swing because maybe their inner ear is not working the way it should be. Or sometimes you have those kiddos who don't like to eat certain foods or don't like the tags on their clothing or really dislike loud noises. An occupational therapist can work with those children to help to kind of integrate that system and have a little bit easier time in their lives.
And that's another area that you all work with and help parents find the right services for their children, whatever the needs might be, correct?
Absolutely. We do a lot of co-treatments and working together as a team, having a speech therapist, an occupational therapist, and a physical therapist, working with that child as a whole and serving that family and that child to be able to just have a better life in general.
And you have quite a few staff members, right, at your facility? I mean, it's quite large.
We do. We actually have 10 therapists. We have 4 speech-language pathologists. We have 4 physical therapists and physical therapy assistants. And we also have 2 occupational therapists who work at our facility and specialize in pediatrics.
And I would imagine for a lot of cases, it may not just be one particular thing. It might be a combination of things or a combination of treatments to help these children. Is that what it tends to be?
Yes, a lot of our children will see a variety of therapists. So whether they're seeing all 3 disciplines or just one, even if we're just speaking of physical therapy, we do have to use a variety of different techniques. And most time we're looking at not just one impairment, sense of strength, but we're looking at coordination and balance, even with just one discipline.
Right. And another thing we want to mention this morning, too, is some of the diagnoses that you all deal with. And I think we talked a little bit about, children that are in some type of trauma or have some injury or something like that. But other things, too, is what brings them to your facility as well.
Right. We see a lot of children with just a generic developmental delay. We also see more severe difficulties such as autism or cerebral palsy, Down syndrome, traumatic brain injury, golden hairs. We've even seen children who have had a stroke or possibly a hearing loss or some impairment with their lip or their palate. We also see children with torticollis.
And that is, explain that a little bit to us.
Torticollis is associated with a tightening of one of the muscles in the neck, which causes a child to prefer to either tilt or turn the head in one way. Sometimes that tightening of the neck can lead to the child being positioned on one side of the head for a longer period of time, making one area of the head flat versus the other area. So a parent or physician might pick up on having a flattening of one side of the head, or they might pick up on the head tilt or rotational preference.
I see. And so with these diagnoses, and again, each child is different, each patient is different, but I think there's a lot of advancements than there were maybe 20 years ago or so about working with these children, working with these individuals. And for a lot of them, I mean, it doesn't mean a life at home. I mean, we're all about inclusion and getting children into classrooms and all these things. And so these types of diagnosis certainly mean there's a lot of work that can be done for these children, right?
Absolutely. And the most important thing is the early identification and early intervention. Serving these kids as soon as the doctors or the parents have any inkling of any kind of difficulty is best so that we can get them all of the services that they need to be able to grow up to be functional adults.
And that's the key. And I think in a lot of cases, it works very well.
Absolutely.
And we have a lot of other agencies here that help to do that as well that I know you all work with, right?
We do. We pair with Roundtree, which is an early intervention program through PMS. They do go into the home and provide services, and they do contract us for services as well with some of the more medical-based cases, the feeding and swallowing difficulties, the kids with torticollis, kids with traumatic brain injury, any kind of difficulty that's caused them to be in the hospital, Roundtree will contract us with that. We do extend to any of the organizations around here and work very closely with the hearing services and vision specialists and everything, so we can get that kid whatever it is that they need. We do also work closely with the school system.
And that's great. And I think a lot of folks may think, wow, I've got to maybe take my child to a larger community to get these types of services, but we offer them right here.
We do. And we have recognized the need lately, the last 5 years or so, and really have tried to pour a lot of energy into this program and build it to be able to serve the kids in the Four Corners.
And that's great. And I guess that shows with the opening of your dedicated facility for pediatrics, for these types of children who need these specific services.
Yes, they do. And we also have branched out a little bit more, and we've created a service that once the children are finished with their skilled therapy, or at least have met a point where they have are able to maintain these skills, we do set them up with what's called a functional program that we specialize in our facility, to have a functional specialist or a trained person who is comfortable with our facility and is able to gear these parents to do the therapy that they learned on their own. So they are the therapists now, and they're able to come in and use our facility and use our resources and have access to those therapists just in case anything comes up, but they are able to practice those skills in our facility.
And that's got to be important as well, right? That to continue that level of care and continue those exercises or those movements and things like that that they've been working on, right?
It is. In order for kids to maintain and progress, they still have to be getting those exercises or activities that we've provided them. And even throughout their therapy time, we really focus on, like Crystal has said, getting the parents involved. Because a lot of times we get to see these kiddos for 30 minutes to an hour a week, and if the parents aren't involved, the kids aren't going to progress and change very much. They just need more than that. And so we're setting up that program, and we expect for them to either maintain or progress when they're able to do that in the functional program.
And for a lot of families, I imagine it's great to see a child progressing and working their way through and maybe having some of these problems either go away or work around them or whatever it might be. And that's kind of another goal too, I suppose, when the child's able, right?
It is. One of the main questions that we ask parents is, what is your goal out of therapy? What would you like to achieve? And we tailor our therapy sessions to that. But yes, parents are wanting to come in to see us so we can help them either change and ease their daily lives or allow their kiddos to do something new that they haven't done before that they feel like should be typical for their age.
And for a lot of your very youngest patients, I mean, we're talking, you know, birth to teens, as you've mentioned here this morning, for the very young babies, I mean, I imagine that's an entirely different way of looking at something and helping these children to develop. And when they're not moving around all that much to begin with, that can be a little challenge, can it?
It can be sometimes. And, you know, a lot of times with the very little children, we are asking them to do things that they're not very comfortable with. And so it can be a fine balance in between that child really participating in our sessions and becoming overly frustrated. But it is definitely different with the 0 to 3 children.
But still, we know that they should be doing certain things, right? And if they're not, then that could raise a flag.
We do still know around what time they should be doing things. And there are, you know, month-to-month differences and kind of leeways in that. But we, all of our disciplines have guidelines and standardized tests that allow us to help to make those decisions on where a child is falling with their development.
Sure. And again, it's important, I think, to kind of for parents to be aware of that, or grandparents or whomever is around those children, to know if there's something that's maybe not developing as quickly as maybe it should be, or if the child is delayed in some other way.
Absolutely. It's very nice to have grandparents and aunts and uncles and family members involved in that child. It really does take a village. And so it is nice to see families bringing in their grandparents. And so if grandparents have concerns about their grandchildren, it is very important for you to express to your son or daughter, you know, that maybe this might be an option for you. There is help out there. They don't have to struggle. We can get these services.
Right. And again, that free screening that we talked about, that kind of at least tries to give parents an overview of what the situation is or what it is not. I guess that's also important.
Yes. And it will give us information whether or not we need to evaluate further or if they actually are on track. And we also provide the family with things to work on while you're waiting to figure out the next step. So we give practical ideas, things like Rachel said, going out to the park and playing, and but more specific to whatever that child is having difficulty with.
Right. And I know today it seems our society, we're in an instantaneous gratification society. We want things fixed immediately or changed immediately or improved immediately. And for some of these children, I imagine it may take a few weeks or months to overcome some of these things or to work on these things. And as you mentioned, you're only with them maybe 30 minutes a week, and they need to have some time at home doing these same types of things.
It can. Parents obviously want to see their children progress as fast as possible, and that's one of the primary reasons that we have them work on their home program. The more that we can get the child to interact and engage in practice with these kind of activities, the faster we expect them to progress. But we do, most of our children, it's going to take months, and some of them take years to see a new activity come forward.
Right. And a lot of the measurement is on the progress, right? It may not be the ultimate goal, and maybe then that's okay too, but it's these steps along the way so that the child and the parents, I suppose, and the families can see the progress from the beginning, right?
It is, and we try to, educate the family on this is the progress that we saw this week, and this is what we get to work on next. It might not be that the kid went from crawling to walking within that week, but there's always a little progress that we can talk about with the family.
And I imagine it's important too for the family to have some understanding, for all the family to have some understanding on what's going on, even if they're siblings or again, grandparents or other folks involved, right? They all need to be part of this solution, do they not?
Yes, they do. And also, just bringing that up, these difficulties do run in families. And so we see this often with siblings. So it is very important for the parents and family to be aware that this could potentially be a problem for a younger brother or sister, and we need to be able to address that with them as well.
Sure, and that's a great point. And so, again, as you move forward then with this new facility, and what is next for you as we kind of move forward in bigger facility, more therapists on staff, or just dealing with the patients that you have?
Well, right now we really just want to be able to see the kids that we currently have and the kids that are waiting to be able to see us. We do have several kids who are looking forward to coming into our facility, especially for speech therapy. We do have a high need for that right now. And so really, honestly, growing our facility in our current building and getting more specialized therapists in order to be able to treat these kids. Currently, we don't have any plans currently to expand as we just moved into our facility, but just be able to reach this community in the best way we can.
Right. And again, as these children get to be school aged, some of these things may impact their education too, if they're still having difficulties, correct?
Yes, it really does. Especially if you have difficulties with hand strengthening or hand strength, and you go into the school and you're expected to write and be able to copy down things, or if you have trouble with reading, or if you have trouble sitting still in your chair because your core is weak and you're not able to sit and focus and pay attention, it really can affect your academics.
That's important as well. And I guess from your area of speech pathology, that can be difficult too if a student can't express themselves or talk in a classroom.
Exactly. Being able to understand directions and being able to express. We do a lot of oral communication in our schools, and being able to socially interact with peers, and a lot of our children are the ones that do get bullied. And so we want to be able to get them to their best functional point that they can as soon as possible to be able to communicate and function just like a normal kid.
Very good. Well, again, thank you both for coming in this morning. And again, if you would share that phone number, if folks would like more information and take advantage of the free screening opportunities, if they do maybe have a child that may be in need of that service.
Absolutely. Our phone number is 505-609-6013. You can also visit our website at www.sanjuanregional.com, and you can access more information there.
Okay, very good. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Crystal Doerr and Rachel Slade, my guests here on KSJE, part of the new pediatric rehabilitation facility with San Juan Regional Medical Center. I'll be back with more in just a moment this morning. This program on KSJE is supported by Citizens Trust and Investment Corporation, providing a competent, innovative, and caring team of professionals to serve wealth management, trust administration, employee benefit plans, retirement planning, and estate settlement needs. Find out more about Citizens Trust and Investment Corporation at 505-599-0181.